Jeff and Cindy here on the Morning Scramble with Bruce Morser and Bob Horsley. Gentlemen.
Good morning.
Welcome
good morning.
Back to the show.
Jeff and
one
Cindy.
Year
Glad
later.
Yeah.
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 So it was a year ago last Saturday, Sunday?
The first.
We rolled in.
Yeah. July 1st.
That you rolled in on the ferry that you intended to make.
Although that was nip and tuck.
Yeah.
We almost did not make that ferry.
It was our only tight squeeze of the trip, really, in terms of timing. You know,
it was so much like being on Vashon Island to have ridden, 4,300 miles, nice, hard days and so on, but then to all of a sudden feel the ferry panic.
Yeah.
In the last couple miles.
That was perfect.
We're back. Yeah. Exactly.
Because you had people waiting on the other side to ride with you down the spine of the island.
And we had two flat tires in the last 10 miles. And how can you possibly, and a totally screwed up lunch stop that ended up being a disaster.
Yeah.
So these are the things you can't predict, but are so, it's like, we're back. We are obviously back.
Yeah. That was sort of it was a wonderful return and having everybody welcoming us back, but it was sort of odd to have to rush because we were so accustomed to
you were not
doing
rushing.
Everything in our own time.
So a year later, what, you think about this trip a lot.
Yeah, I'd say almost, well, definitely weekly, I think about it. Just something reminds me of it.
Uh-huh.
But, think about it all the time. Yeah.
What form is that?
I live it all the time. I mean, I will, in the middle of the night, one of those things, I'll find myself awake, and it's like, oh God, I got all these things to worry about. And then I will simply lock on to someplace on the road. And if I can just chill and see where I was in the road, I can still picture, big chunks of the road will roll towards me, and I've got really nothing to think about it. It's just sort of like, there we are, riding along. There's Bob in front of me.
Yeah, it's been funny the last couple of months since the anniversary of the trip.
Uh-huh.
Bruce and I text each other almost daily. Where were we last
where
year?
Where were you?
Yeah. Sending photographs of where we were. And, this is what we were doing this time last year. And,
significant video clips of the day kind of thing to flip them back and forth. And it has really been... I kind of enjoyed it all over again.
Yeah, it's been nice to relive those.
Much cooler.
Yeah. So do you still, how much do you ride your bike now compared to before the ride?
I was waiting for that question. we've been pounding it, right, Bruce?
Oh, that's right.
We've been pounding it. I haven't... been on the bike a whole lot, honestly. After the ride, P2P, both Bruce and I rode that, so we trained for that, and we did the P2P ride.
Uh-huh.
But I would say after that, both of us have ridden the bike a handful of times.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're all still, physically rigorous about things we're doing, but we switched back to rowing. Because we sort of took last year off from the rowing team. We didn't go to the big competitions and so on, so we switched back to rowing. We just got done with the regional competitions, which takes a lot of training leading up to it. So it's very little bike riding. Yeah. Same kind of physical exercise out there, just different sports.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, what I did was I went back to the original conversations we had last summer and just started pulling moments out. I didn't worry about context. I just pulled out this right here is where you tell me where you are. And right here is where you talk about, the conditions of the road. And this story is here, and this funny moment is here. And I just started pulling these out.
That was great.
And I got about over an hour's worth of stuff, and I had to edit it down. I got it down to 45 minutes, and I got it down to 27 minutes. And I was thinking, I'm going to cut this down to 15 minutes. But as I was listening to the 27-minute long edit, I just found myself wanting to keep everything I heard. So I just decided to stop trying, and I left it at 20 sets. So this is like a little half-hour mini documentary with the music of Penguin Cafe Orchestra underneath.
That's Bob's favorite.
Yes. It just felt like kind of the appropriate sort of
rhythm, vibe
and rhythm to put under this. And so I'm just going to play this. And when we're done, if there's anything off of what you hear that you want to add a little bit of illumination to, please feel free.
This is great. VOV was kind of our time clock. As the weeks went by, it was the one regular thing.
Yeah.
This is really wonderful, Jeff.
Okay,
thanks.
Cool. All right. So here is last year with Bruce and Bob on the road.
Okay.
So where'd you spend the night last night?
West Brookfield, which is one of four Brookfields. The one thing we did notice about the Brookfields in general is I think their specialty is burying people. There were more cemeteries per cubic foot of land than you've ever seen anywhere. I painted the river outside the hotel, and Bob painted me painting the river. River, and before we get to Pittsfield, we've got the Berkshires to deal with, and that's going to be hard.
We have a difficult afternoon ahead of us.
Well, you better be careful, because when you get there, this is the third week of the flushing of the Pittsfield water system. That's just a heads up for you.
First day, we're about only 20 miles in, and we're rolling into Beverly, Massachusetts. We had just sort of ridden around Manchester, the town from the movie fame, and we stopped at a Starbucks, and getting back on the bike, hold on a second.
Yeah, it's just some more dead people being taken to West Brookfield.
To the cemetery.
Yeah. We're tired, things to be on fire. Today, tomorrow night.
Oh, is that possible?
Tomorrow night, you're actually watching Madeline dance in Albany, New York. That's kind of a hoot, especially because tomorrow we just heard that the forecast is for an inch and a half to 2 inches. I don't just swim there. I'll get to the
Oh, that's going to be wild.
We're actually sitting in the Colgate University Chapel.
So, last week you were outside, and of course we heard sirens and cars driving by. It's much quieter today.
If a siren drives through here, Jeff, we've got big problems. Not only has it been cold, and it's been very cold, it's also been raining, and it has been windy. And of course, the wind is coming. Let's see if you can guess, Jeff.
Yeah.
Which direction do you suppose the wind comes from?
Right in your face.
We're talking like a 15 to 20 mile an hour headwind.
Out of the west.
For 2 to 3 days.
Oh, man.
Just for the majority of our run on the canal, we were on like long stretches of road with just howling winds. With every now and then, either Bruce or I would just scream like,
So the farm country around here is spectacularly beautiful. Even on a cold, gray day like today, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it's hilly, but the roads are nice and there's very little traffic.
So what was it like to stop along the way and see your daughter dance, Bruce?
That was very, very good. All those years when a lot of people told her, why are you dancing? You know there's no future in dancing and that sort of stuff. Madeline stuck with it. She did it. Mm-hmm. And it was a proud moment for a dad to see his daughter do her thing on stage.
It was an impressive performance. It really was.
This morning, I mean, I looked at the phone weather forecast getting out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, I think, and it was 32 degrees outside, and it
just rained too.
Yeah,
it just stopped raining.
You don't need to do that.
Yeah,
part of it is just wanting to keep moving.
Yeah.
So you know, we're trying to use good judgment, but that's sometimes not a
not in great supply.
It would be ideal cycling today. The roads are beautiful, bright sky, it's not too hot, except there is about a 25 knot side wind.
We are maxing out at about 10 to 11 miles an hour.
It's a buffeting kind of a wind, and then you have a car go by and it adds to the swirl of things. This front moved through, and it went from like, you know, low 50s to 85.
We missed the 50s, 60s, and 70s. I'd say we're doing, right now, when the conditions are decent, we're doing 70 to 80 miles a day.
One of the things that no one in Ohio seems to recommend is bicycling in Ohio. Ohio is the least friendly bicycle environment in terms of the roads that I've experienced. It was the first day in 35 years that I've ridden a full day without riding a single hill.
a big moment yesterday in that I looked down at the total mileage meter, and it was at 1,001 miles.
There you go.
And we're at about 1,031 right now.
Oh my gosh!
We're making progress here. We feel like we're closing in on a quarter of the way.
You should see us now. We're sitting on a rail in the on a trail. We're in Illinois, adjacent to a canal that has a trail system on it that we're about to do about 50 to 60 miles on today.
If you could picture African Queen, I'm in the boat and Bob is pushing ahead, walking in the swamp, towing me along.
Yeah, those roads in the prairie are, I think they're divided by township and sections, and I think the sections are every mile. There's a road going north, south, east, west.
That's
and we've
right.
been sort of zigzagging our way across that, following the map and following just GPS, just our noses.
We actually were in one little cafe in the town of Napoleon, which stands out because it's a Campbell soup place. And it was just incredible to be riding through the middle of a town that smells like tomato soup. It was kind of disgusting. But we pull up into this cafe and we're looking out there realizing we're not going to get a painting in today. And Bob wisely says, well, let's just paint here.
So we just stayed inside the cafe and it was raining outside. So it worked out. Yeah, I mean, it almost seems like every time it rains, we end up finding this little a little bar or a little diner to duck into. And as we sit there longer and dig through a lunch, people start warming up to us. And just every time, people are just genuinely very friendly. And we walk out, they're giving us advice.
Somebody will ask you, where are you going? And we give them the same old story. And then you can watch it get passed around in the diner or the bar. And they kind of flip it back and forth to each other. These two clowns are going coast to coast. And then people just start coming up to us and kind of introducing themselves and wishing us well. We've had people say they'll pray for us tonight. And it's something.
Yeah, you know, outside of the traffic situation, going through Indiana and Illinois, is really sort of interesting to just look at what we were riding through. Was all the cornfields have just recently been planted. I mean, all at the same time. In fact, Bruce has been taking photographs every day of the corn.
Bob, that was private about the photos of corn.
I know.
I've been surprised at how downright beautiful Indiana and Illinois have been. Just riding along in these fields, it's really lovely. And the farms are so well taken care of. It's clear that the national pastime, maybe the only hobby out here, is mowing. People, they mow the bejeepers off of everything.
That one.
Yeah.
We have had, in this entire trip, I've been in a t-shirt and shorts exactly a day and a half.
Yeah.
That's oh,
it.
Really? Wow.
Every time else, I'm wearing a raincoat now.
I lost my raincoat off my bike. It fell off the bungees. So
oh really?
I had to go to a farm supply store and get a slicker.
Tractor Supply is the name of the store. It's like a Toys R Us for Tractor Supply. It's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
We are in New Albany, Iowa, and that's about as far northeast as you can get here.
We're within just a few miles of the Minnesota border here.
We wanted a place to hang out, and boy, did David's parents, Don and Mary Lou Hattery, come to our rescue.
Well, it was just totally coincidental that we happened to be there at that time. It was just sheer luck. His folks' house is literally right on the Mississippi River in McGregor. I mean, it was at flood stage, so we had to walk in about shin deep water to get to the back deck.
The Hattery's house is in the Mississippi. And sitting up on about, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 foot tall stilts.
And the houses in the farmland have been really well kept.
People love their lawnmowers. We have seen some serious mowing going on.
And you can tell that it's pride in mowing to the extent that you begin to see pattern mowing, where some people are going for that cross-cut look, and some people are going for that linear look and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's been interesting, the whole lawn mowing thing. Bob did this brilliant job of creating this analogy for, as Bob and I have riding along, we realize that we've always known we're slightly different riders, and we're slightly different people, and we're certainly, our approach to the paintings we're doing are very, very different. And then Bob just nailed it with this analogy that he described in, because of all this lawn mowing, he said, he drew a little picture and put a little square and a big sheet of paper and said, that's your house. Now, how would you mow the lawn when you were a little kid? And I described going back and forth and back and forth across the whole sheet of paper until the thing was done, as about as dull and plodding a way you could do it.
Yeah.
So, Bob, how do you do it?
So, I like finishing projects, little bitty projects. I mean, I will cut up, you know, a half acre of lawn into 20 little projects that I'll complete. And the analogy was to the riding that we're doing right now. So let's say we've got a 100-mile day that we're doing. We don't have 100 miles. We've got 10 miles till we have our first break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have another 20 miles until our second breakfast.
Uh-huh.
And then we have another 20 miles until lunch. And then we have another 20 miles until our ice cream break. And then we have another 20 miles until we finish.
Yeah.
So each one of those is worth celebrating.
So your route now takes you up toward the Twin Cities, and then you will turn west for Fargo.
We stay on the La Crosse River and go up and around Minneapolis, and then we go northwest to Fargo.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, it's almost north-northwest. It's pretty far north. And then we finally get into North Dakota. And then we don't really need to talk about what that's going to be like.
We don't have a clue what that's going to be like. That or eastern Montana, we're just going to arrive.
We'll get there and have a look at that as it comes along.
Bruce Morser and Bob Horsley, as they join us from somewhere in North Dakota.
I would say from the middle of the road.
Yeah.
We pulled off the side of the road, and we're sitting under a big poplar tree with probably the lone tree for miles around.
I was going to say, there's a tree there? My gosh.
Yeah, it was there. We found a tree.
There is a tree. The Warm Showers couple that helped us out with a free night's lodging said that you go down the road 6 miles and then take a left at the tree. Bob and I have talked about it. It's like riding across the ocean. You know, where you get that expansive feeling like we're just out here somewhere. It's wonderful.
Feels like we've been sort of lifting on a tilt all the way up to the high plains that we're... But,
oh, so you're going uphill?
It's just a slight tilt. But and in fact, you look at the maps and I think the elevation change is...
You get 1,000 feet in about less than 300 miles.
1,000 feet in 300 miles.
Yeah,
the eastern half of North Dakota. Yeah. You could spend a lifetime trying to get a passport to paint done out here. The last two towns, I think, have been my favorite towns, and they're not dramatically cute or that sort of thing, but they really have this look of big open streets, incredibly friendly. We're just walking around in the town, and people are waving at us, rolling their window down, and every place we go into to eat, we make immediate friends with folks. Very much sort of toughened old-time farmers will just pull up the booth next to us and just say, where are you going? And what are you doing that for?
And typically, the waitresses have got little booklets they want us to sign. They have, you know, put the dates and little notes in there.
So they're like bike groupies?
Yeah, they're bike groupies.
That's just it. Yeah, you got it. We had an awesome experience there. Bob mentioned there was a second guy, young guy, who was actually a landscape architect student, who was there, and he started riding with us the next day and going on and on. We started just trading our distances and so on, and he rode with us for many, many, many miles and tough miles. And this young guy, what did he tell us, Bob?
Well, we were actually sitting in a diner with him. And we had just, you know, we were pretty tired, and we were sitting down for our second breakfast. And this guy looks up to us and goes, "You guys are badass." We said, "What?"
Probably, I think the toughest day we ever had, which was
the day that we said goodbye to Austin and the young kid who thought we were impressive, and we had an extremely hard last 20 miles, big, big hills, really hot weather, brutal. And we finally fight our way up to the top of this hill to where the lodging was we were going to stay, and we pulled into this godforsaken, just not a very nice motel, and we're standing in... Bob is utterly losing it. And he is
just hanging on.
And the woman is going on and on and on. And she's telling some story about how the back of her cat no longer had hair. Or, you know, something is absolutely terrible. And Bob is starting to stretch out. He is literally reclining on her desk. And she stops. And she looks at us. And her line is, "Am I boring you?"
You know, to me, just because of the big open stretches of land here that you can see a bigger distance, it feels like we are actually heading west now to me.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel a little more insignificant as far as the landscape goes. You feel like you're just a little ant crawling across a big globe.
Right? One of the goals I had for this trip was very much to get away from thinking so much and just being kind of more of this big sense of awareness of where I was, and this really gets to that, because the options for staying at places are pretty minimal, and the options for eating are pretty obvious, and it's just rolling along, and there's not much to think about, and it's just a sense of floating in awareness. And to kind of try to quickly paint a picture of this whole thing, it's bright sun, the perfect little puffy clouds in the sky, and what looked like English countryside in the distance off across one of the many giant wetlands. And so we stopped in the shade of a tree and we're got our chairs out and our paint sets out. We're painting yet another picture, our daily picture. And it was just magical to sit there in the dead silence. Occasionally someone would bicycle by and you could hear the bullfrogs kind of rung, rung in the background and all these different bird noises. And it was just the most idyllic thing. And then on the very distant, you could hear wafting over the meadows. What was that song?
Teenage Wasteland.
Circle, Montana is a sweet little town. It's the kind of town that distinguishes itself. As we were riding in yesterday after a very difficult ride, we needed food fast, and there was a cop parked on the side of the road. And I was in the process of rolling up to the cop, and Bob was ahead of me, so I thought, I'll just go. Maybe Bob's got a bead on the cafe. I was just going to ask for the nearest food stop. And then after we ate and we're going back out of town, that cop car was still there. We pulled up next to it and realized it was an old cop car with a woman mannequin in full uniform sitting in the car.
Montana is a different place. I think the terrain in North Dakota, we were both surprised at the variety of terrain. Sloping, valleys, a little bit of everything. It was a lot more variety than we thought. As soon as we got into Montana, boy, it just turned into, it is big sky, flat sort of rolling, gently rolling hills, but it's grass and fence line. It is just big country here.
North Dakota has been the biggest surprise for me, I think Bob too, in that everyone kept saying, well, it's going to be big and flat. And it's funny, it was my memory of North Dakota, having driven through it a number of times. Anyone who says it's just flat has not been here. The friendliest people we met along the way so far. Just conversations, people coming up to us and starting these things at all times of the day and night.
We go into convenience stores and it's ridiculous. We have to, it takes us a few minutes just to get out of the convenience store because we typically have two or three people wanting to engage us, talk to us. And you look at these folks and you would think, they don't have a thing to say to me. And they do. They want to find out what you're doing there.
And it's almost as if there's a ball between Bob and I. And we kind of lateral it back and forth. It's like, Bob, you take it, man. Yeah. No, you go with it. Because we have our little spiel that includes Boston and Seattle. And that's when the conversation really gets rolling. Every day, there's sort of another adventure of riding. We keep complaining about headwinds, and we thought we had something to complain about until yesterday. And we got about the first 30 miles into the ride, and I was scrolling through the cycle computer just to kind of see what information was there. And I realized that the top speed of the day, the very top speed for the day, had been 12.5 miles an hour. That was it. We were pushing about a 25-knot headwind. And that's a consistent. That's just a solid, consistent, reported on several different sites. I'd never ridden anything like that. So we were basically out there for 6 hours, just kind of pushing into this wall. So it sounds terrible, and yet it was really kind of fun. The whole thing was because we've got all the time in the world.
Well, here is a little distinction. You may not be aware of this, but where you are in Circle, Montana, you are 192 miles away from the nearest Starbucks. Thus making Circle the community furthest from a Starbucks in the lower 48.
Wow. And you know, as Bob and I sat in front of the gas station this morning, drinking our cup of coffee and eating our microwave burrito, because it was the only food anywhere in town, that rang true.
We are in West Glacier right now.
We actually rode through the park, or around the edge of the park, and then through some of the park yesterday after leaving Cut... Wait. Bob's got to say this word. Where did we leave, Bob?
Cut Bank.
And we are at 3,377 miles.
Whoa!
But the wind and the sun has polished Bruce and I down like we are crispy brown skeletons right now. There's not a whole lot left of us but legs and eyeballs.
We are bicycling bacon.
And melanin.
And the trains have been unbelievable. I mean, we are seeing 5 to 10 trains a day now.
At least. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's very exciting too. You're really pooped and tired, and somehow these trains roaring by reinvigorate you and get you to go again. There's nothing sort of more majestic. It's like that movie Days of Heaven, where you see them riding along in the train. You feel like you're sort of into that scene. There's something really powerful about riding towards home, and about having, to me, this whole thing is like watching. It's almost like we brought along separate books, and we've been reading these books. And like the first book was this kind of Massachusetts and this Erie Canal, and slowly working our way through New England and that whole Mohawk Valley. And then all of a sudden that book closes at about the Niagara Falls, and then the Ohio and Illinois and Indiana, the farm country and this kind of good, wholesome. That one opens up, and we read through that one, and then that closes, and then we go to the Driftless area, which is kind of the Iowa, where the Hatteries were so kind to us, and this very hilly, very tough terrain there. That one closes somewhere in the middle of Minnesota, and then this giant open plains, which was really a spectacular book to have read, so to speak, and then that closed yesterday. We closed that one, and both Bob and I had this feeling of like, whoa, here's a completely new book, and it's kind of like the book that we know now. Bob did such a great job of describing these towns. They just sit there like islands on a sea, and it reminds me so much of sailing in the Northwest out on the ocean side, where you get these little ports in between these huge open areas where the weather can be quite severe and so on. And boy, it is a wonderful feeling. We made the right decision, definitely, by riding from the East Coast to the West.
Yeah, I don't regret going east to west now at all. It's hard not to be in the moment here, because you have to be so focused in the moment when you're riding, and with the scenery the way it is, and the route that we're on, it's hard not to be in the moment. But yeah, it's a little tough not to think about the distance that we had to go and all that, and being back home, absolutely.
It's like that Ray Bradbury story, I think it was, of a hitchhiker, and no matter where you went, the driver kept seeing the same hitchhiker.
Yeah,
there actually has been a guy like that, too. We keep seeing the same guy with white sunglasses, and he's kind of a
lonely guy on the road, and we drive by, and there he is again.
And we see him later that day in the back of a pickup truck, and I think 2 days later we saw him again.
Yeah, he was throwing his stuff sack in a ditch. The more we go and the more different things we see and the more different these kind of wonderful evolving landscapes that change every single day, one thing does remain the same, and it is constant, and it's the same as it is on Vashon Island. Everywhere we go, there are groups of guys having breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
It can be
really?
Any little place, and there are groups of guys having breakfast. And just like the Rowing Club, Wednesday mornings at our spot, they're always friendly. And
They
can be pretty surly-looking guys, and you walk in and give them the head tip, and they're all friendly. They're all. We had guys coming over, I think it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, and they were pouring us coffee.
We are currently sitting on a little terrace overlooking the Metau River in Mazama.
But it is nice to be back in Washington State. A profound feeling of crossing into Washington State, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, we're home. I was telling John and Olivia this morning that I was sort of wondering, when will we know we're actually in Washington State? And we pulled into this tiny little town and found a cheap motel, and the building next to the motel was a pot shop. We were like,
just the, you know, coming through Idaho and seeing the Cascades, and all of a sudden, home is very apparent to us, or it's becoming very close.
Yeah, actually, we have picked a boat. We are going to be on the 225 from Southworth, and that goes, of course, there's nothing easy here. Of course, it goes via Fauntleroy. So we get off on the island at 3:15 on Saturday, and then we expect a strong southerly breeze as we ride down the island to Jensen Point. So it was a bad enough day to begin with the double rumble strips and the headwind, and this guy got talking to us, and he said, yeah, and look out for the rattlesnake. You're kidding. And he goes, no, they're on the road.
Yeah, and I think it was the same day we were in another bar, and the guy said, do you have bear spray?
I believe it was the day before yesterday, one dog really did the job.
Really?
And got Bob and I really pumping along and gave it a good, you know, quarter mile bid.
Really? Wow.
Grab one of us. But for the entire, and I should give that count. To date, we're at 4,050.6 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
So for that entire 4,000 mile ride, we have been chased once.
9:03 here in the morning scramble. Jeff and Cindy Hoyt and the guys, they're back. Bruce Morser, Bob Horsley.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Man.
We're back.
Jeff, Cindy.
They're off the road again.
You don't
back
sound
on
like,
the island.
Yeah, you're not talking through a speakerphone.
And
yeah.
It's nice to be sitting here and looking at you guys as opposed to sitting under a tree or in a subway restaurant or something, struggling to hear you on the phone and not knowing when you're supposed to.
Welcome back.
That was enjoyable.
Yeah.
That was
thanks
great.
For putting that. Great job, Jeff.
I was just
thanks.
Watching you, the two of you, while that was running, and I could just see you were reliving these moments as they flashed past.
It was fun to look up and catch Bob's eye. And this kind of acknowledgement of like, yeah, that happened.
You know what really struck me is so many of the quotes early on, we were obviously clueless what we were in for.
Yeah.
And some of our quotes about, I think I said something about the wind at some point. I said, oh my God, we had, you know, 15, 20 mile an hour winds today. It was horrible. And little did we know that was going to be
a way of life,
you know, a way of life for the rest of the trip.
It was amazing to crest Washington Pass. You know, that's in now your Washington State, and you crest the pass and you think, this is it. This is downhill. We are homebound, and everything, the weather changes, completely different system. We all morning long pushing a headwind up and then cresting the pass, and it's a headwind all the way down. This is impossible.
That system coming up off the Pacific.
Yeah, but just the unknown. I mean, there was another quote in there about us, about apprehension about Montana and North Dakota, which was the most enjoyable part of the trip, but we were a little worried about it initially in the trip.
Well, the distances between, it was interesting that you said that you didn't have any regrets about going east to west, and I think I get that just because of the sensation you must have had going from through Massachusetts, where it's just town, 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 town.
Yeah.
You know, one town ends, the next town begins. And then you get further into the Midwest, and it's town, town, town. And then you get into North Dakota and Montana, it's town.
Yeah.
Oh, a day. Yeah. Days worth.
You could see the water towers, and as soon as you could see the water tower on the horizon, it was 6-7 miles to the town.
Reeling them in and slowly reeling these things in and setting them off in the distance, or seeing the first mountains. There are, you don't see the Rockies first. You see all these little tiny ranges, like the Little Rockies and the Bear Paw and Sweetgrass, and these little tiny, and you're like pulling them in, like islands on the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then you spend all day long pulling these things in, and then you spend all afternoon long putting them off to stern. Yeah. It's really spectacular. Yeah. It's huge. What your compilation did so well was it gave me that big, huge feeling again, that absolutely wonderful, buoyant feeling, which is... you had that line of, I want to think less, feel more. Bob was even, we were talking yesterday. Bob and I, we're still incredibly close friends and talk to each other and see each other all the time.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, what's with you? Or do you still do that thing? And I said, oh, yeah, I definitely, from the trip, I definitely feel more, think less. I'm conscious of it. And the trip helped me do that.
Well, it kind of comes out in the sounds of your voices. In the early part of the trip, it was a lot of statistics. You know, this is what the conditions we're in. The winds are blowing at this, you know, this level. This is the condition of the roads we're on. And then as you got into the Midwest, you started, it sounded like you were a little surprised that people were coming up to you and asking you about your trip, and you started to tell a little more, there's a little more storytelling in the middle part, you know, when you got into the Midwest, and also observations about, wow, this is really, I didn't expect it to be so beautiful, all the farms, and then you get into the West, and once you guys got into Montana, that you started getting a little more reflective and talking about the analogy and just a little bit more of what the ride was meaning to you.
I think time became less and less important in terms of the consecutive nature of what we were doing, or what was first, what was second. We were really in the present when we were.
I think also one of the things I noticed, and especially listening to this again, was that when we start off, you can tell we're each on our own ride, even though we're riding together. We're each riding our ride, and by Montana, it seems like we're riding one ride. Yeah. We're just on one ride together. And I noticed we were finishing each other's stories. And it's like we had one story to tell. It was no longer two people. It was just a ride. We're on a big ride together.
Yeah. Well, it was really fun to go back through and pull that stuff all out and relive the trip. And
very kind of you to do that.
Oh, sure.
I was really impressed.
I
will listen to that. You're going to send us a digital copy of that? I would love to listen to that again sometime. Uh-huh. I could bore the whole family.
Heard this.
Well, we were not bored. I was thoroughly delighted to relive that with you.
It was fun, too, because people all over the island were coming up to us. Where are they now? It was like we were in charge of keeping people informed as to where you were. And, you know, we didn't know exactly where you were during the week, except on Thursday when you called us in. So we could give them an approximation. Well, last week they were in, you know...
fill in the blank.
Yeah. And but it was amazing how many people were following closely. And so it was just great.
I'm sure if Bob and I could give everybody a nudge, it would be, and everyone doesn't have to do this trip, but it's so easy. It took us a long time to kind of get out of our seats to actually do it. And I think we both would encourage everyone, just do it.
Just do it.
Do a small one. Do something. Yeah. Just go.
And it was a challenge, but it was fun. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I appreciate about what we went through, this what we just heard, is the memory that, and something that we can remind ourselves, is that we remember we're badasses.
That's right.
I've forgotten that. No matter what occurs.
I tell my clients that, but I'm a badass.
Don't lose track of that.
I've been endorsed.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Jeff, Cindy.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bruce Morsher, Bob Horsley, back a year later from their cross-country bike ride. And a link to this entire conversation will be up online here in just a little while.
Let's train for P2P now, Bob.
Okay, good. It's 10:41 here on the Morning Scramble with Jeff and Cindy, almost out of here, and we'll just take the long way home. Here's Supertramp on KVSH.